Parshas Vayetze says the following: Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and Vayelech Haran, and he went to Haran. Here's the deal: the first question that you come into is, what is Be'er Sheva? What does Be'er Sheva have to do with anything? So the Pashup Shot is that's where Yaakov Avinu was. That's where Yaakov Avinu was beforehand, and Yitzchak Avinu was there beforehand, and that's that. But the Baal HaTorim says that Be'er Sheva is the letters of Av, Shem, Aver, which means that the father, which was Yitzchak Avinu, and Shem and Aver were all there in Be'er Sheva. They were all there in Be'er Sheva. So when Yaakov Avinu left, he left from Shem, he left from Aver, and he left from his father. So all three of them were there. And then, after that, when he had left Yeshiva Shem Be'er, that's when he was chased down by Eliphaz. Everybody knows the Medrash, where Eliphaz chased after him. He wanted to kill him. And he said, don't worry, a poor man is considered dead. And Eliphaz said, oh, pshat! And understood it, and went ahead and took away his money and didn't kill him. I remember Rabbi Cohen speaking about this 2 years ago. Can you imagine what the conversation was like when Eliphaz came back to Esau? He said, so, did you kill him? Well, sorta. What do you mean, sorta? Well, you know, there's a chazal. There's a chazal. Taking away his money is you killed the guy. So that's what I did. That worked out really well.
Imagine Yaakov said, he's like, why did you take my money? I was talking about you.
No, that clearly is not funny. Okay, so either way, the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph, there's a marsha over there that says that Yeshiva Shem Aver is in Be'er Sheva. That goes against the tour guide that I had in Tzfas, who tells me that Yeshiva Shem Aver is in a little cave right outside of the Shuk in Tzfas. I did go inside. They showed me where the mikvah was, and they say that Shem and Aver are buried there in Tzfas inside that cave. And there's a shul right there called Yeshiva Shem Be'er. And it's supposed to be based on the Shem Be'er, but that goes against the tour guide. But according to this Gemara Megillah Yudzayin Amud Aleph in the Marsha, it goes the other way. The Maral Diskin points out that Esav never found him. This is the yeshiva that Yitzchak Avinu was in, and he never found him over the 14 years that he was hiding. That means that Esav didn't go into the Beis Medrash once to go look for him. Because if he had been in there once, he would have seen that Yaakov Avinu never left. He never left Be'er Sheva. He was there the entire time. As the Maral Diskin points out, Ruchaim Kanievsky argues that there's a difference between Vayetze and the word Vayelech. When he left, he was thinking to go to Be'er Sheva because he had money. He could get married immediately, and he wouldn't have to worry about, oh, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to learn at all. He was going to be able to learn because he left Be'er Sheva. He had money on him. He was ready to go get married and learn in Kolo for a little bit, but then Eliphaz took away his money. So at that point, he said, uh-oh, I got to go to Yeshiva Shem Be'er. He had to go learn, because after marriage, he would have to go ahead and work. And we see that he worked for the next 20 years. He wasn't able to learn during that time. So we see that his whole status had changed. So he went back to Be'er Sheva. So the first time was Vayetze, mi Be'er Sheva. He left, and he's planning on going to Haran, but he never went. The second time, after he went back from Yeshiva Shem Be'er, that's when Vayelech Haran, he actually got to Haran. But it's definitely not so clear. There's a Medrash Rabbah, and everybody knows a Medrash Rabbah, that when Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva, all the splendor and the kavod left Be'er Sheva. Everybody knows that Medrash. So the Medrash asks, what about Yitzchak and Rivka that were there? What's that, Mashma? But Shem and Aver were not there. Shem and Aver were not there. Because if they were there, then it would have been, what about Yitzchak and Rivka and Shem and Aver? There were all these tzaddikim there. What about those tzaddikim? It didn't say that, so it must be that the only people... Okay, so that's that. But that's basically... If you want to go in Pashup Shot, if you want to have a board for Shabbos, why did Yaakov leave Be'er Sheva? What did that mean? Shem, Aver, Av. Those are the letters of me, Be'er Sheva. You have a little board for Shabbos and everything's all happy. But this is not for Shabbos. This is not for Shabbos. I will... Shem, Aver, Av.
That's
your Dvar Torah for Shabbos. It's a very quick one. Everybody will be happy. You'll be like, I got a good one. Shem, Aver, Av. And everything's all done. Say, he left there and they were all together in the same place. It's all good. And then you can add on the Merle Diskin. Esav never left and never went to the Beis Medrash. Everybody will be like, oh, that Esav. And then you're all done. Then you get to eat challenge. And then everything's all good. That's the easy board for Shabbos.
What is the Av part?
I'm sorry?
What is the Av part?
The Aleph part?
The Av part.
Shem, Aver, Be'er, Sheva. Yeah, Be'er,
Sheva.
Again, Aver, Shem, Av. That's seven letters. Be'er, Sheva is seven letters. You just switch around the letters a little bit. You'll come out with all of them work out. It does work out. So why does this have to happen? Why did Hashem have to make Eliphaz run after Yaakov, you know, and take away his money? Did it really have to happen? Could Yaakov not go into Lavan with money? What would have happened if you would have had money? What would have happened if he would have had 20 bucks on him?
Lovin would have taken it.
Is that what we're afraid of? That Lovin was going to take away the money from Yaakovinu? I mean, in the end, okay, there was money gotten, there's something that happened, but is that what we were really afraid of? He then asked, I mean, he didn't get forced. He asked to work for 7 years for Rachel. He asked to. He said, can I work for you for 7 years for Rachel and Emmanuel? Who would do that? Who would suggest 7 years? Start off low. Start off with, like, can I work for you for 7 days? And he says, no. How about a year? No. 2 years. Okay, 2 years is good. But 7 years to start off with that number? That's an unbelievable amount of time. It's not... Well, you could say, well, maybe he was 12 years old at the time, and he had to wait until he was 19, and he'd be of marital age. He was 77 years old when he came to Chara. She was five, yeah. That's a big question also. So it could be she was five, according to the Medrash, that Rachel was five. Rabbeinu Bachaya does say that. And the Rabbeinu Bachaya does say it as well. But yes, 100%. And they say it's for 7 years. But then for Leah, he worked for another 7 years. So there's something about the 7 years that's different. He's 77 years old. He didn't get married until he was 84. There's clearly something going on here that he wanted specifically to work for 7 years. So I got a Rav Shor. Rav Shor says the following. He says, there's Be'er Sheva. Be'er is a well. The well stands for Shabbos. How does a well stand for Shabbos? He has a whole vort. And he goes through how the well, which is full of water, is Shabbos, which is full of Kedusha. And he goes into an entire vort, drawing the kochos out of the well, drawing the water out of the well for you to be able to quench your thirst, is like drawing the kochos out of Shabbos to be able to survive the upcoming week. That every Shabbos, you sit there on Shabbos and you say to yourself, I can survive this upcoming week in the Shuk, because I've got Shabbos on my side. Rivka told Yaakov, Rivka went up to Yaakov and told him, you have to be by Lavan for Yomim Achodim. This is at the end of last week's Parsha. For Yomim Achodim. And Yaakov didn't have to translate that. What does that mean for a few days? What does that mean they have to be by him for a few days? We know that Yomim can be days, it could be years. Achodim is a very, very weird word. Very, very strange word. What are we referring to when he says he has to be there for Yomim Achodim? Here's Yaakov's shot. Yaakov understood it as the following. There are 354 days in a year, in a Hebrew year. I'm not going to include over yours. In a regular year, there's 354 days. In one full year, how many Shabbosos are there? 354. How many? In a 365-day year. But 354 divided by 7 is 50 Shabbosos and 4 extra days. Okay? Times 50 Shabbosos by 7 years. So 50 times 7 is 350. Now, how many days do you have? 4 days times 7 is how many days? 28 days. 28 days is how many Shabbosos?
4
Shabbosos. So you have 350 Shabbosos in 7 years, plus another 4 Shabbosos, which means what? How many Shabbosos do you have? 354. Now, granted, I understand that there aren't really 354 days in every year. I'm skipping out on the over years every year. Rav Shor is really coming up with this gematria, but he says the following. He says, Yaakovinu needed a year of Shabbos. 354 Shabbosos. 354 Shabbosos. In order to gain the Kedusha that he needed to work and be able to be married and become the son-in-law for Lama. He needed all of that in order to improve himself, to bring himself up in a certain way. A full year of Shabbos to have the koach to withstand all the powers of Lavan when Lavan was going to give him a daughter to be able to get married. That was the idea of what he wanted to do. And he understood that from the wording of Rivka Imenu. How exactly? I don't know. Yomim could be a year. Achodim could be for the one day of Echod. Of the one day that's out there. And that refers to Shabbos. And it could very well be, though. I have absolutely no idea where he got that, where the final thing came. But the point is that Yaakovinu said, Maisa Avos Simim Abanim, that whatever the Avos do goes down to the children afterward. And he gave that koach to us in all of our goals. The only way for us to survive is because we have Shabbos. Because we have Shabbos. If you have Shabbos, you can survive anything. The Medrash Rabbah says in Halacha Yud Ches, it says the only way that Bnei Yisrael survived Mitzrayim is because every Shabbos they came out, they brought out their Torahs, and they leaned from them and told over stories of the Avos. That's what they did all the time on Shabbos. And because of that Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, he asked Taro for it or whatever it was, it's the only way to survive the rest of the year. The rest of the week, I should say. They were able to work all day long because they had a day off. Myself was similar to him. What Yaakovinu did was he said, you know you're going to be able to get to, you're going to be able to go into the Shuk and do all the things you need to do. You know you're going to survive Thanksgiving? Being together with all the people you really don't want to be with? You have Shabbos. You got Shabbos. If you have a Shabbos, you'll be okay. You're going to be fine. But it took a heck of a lot. That's why there were two sets of seven in the amount of years that he went to Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever for. It's not just Stam. There was 14 years that he went to Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. It's two sets of seven to give him Shabbos two times over. Because he knew he was going to marry two wives from Lavan. He thought it was going to be Rachel first and then Leah. But he knew he was going to marry Rachel and Leah. He knew he was Esav. He knew what his job was going to be. Just Leah did it first. Leah became the first wife and Rachel became the second wife for her own reasons. But there was, he knew it was going to be Rachel and Leah, and he needed those 14 years, and he needed to repeat it again. 7 years and 7 years in front of Lavan to show him the power that Shabbos has. To show Bnei Yisrael, 28 years. 28 years Yaakov Avinu spent just concentrating on Shabbos. Concentrating on everything that he had to do regarding Shabbos. That's why, at the end, when he was no longer doing it, he was going to go back there to Yisrael. How many years did he work for? 6. In the 7th year, he wanted to rest, and he went back to Yitzchak Avinu. That was the point of what he was trying to do. To show you that in order to gain the strength to be able to do things that you need to do for the rest of the week, you need Shabbos. And that's Be'er Sheva. That's the entire idea of Yayetze Yaakov Mi Be'er Sheva. What he wanted to do was show you he left the Koach of Shabbos. He left from the Koach of Shabbos, from Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. And he went over. Now, that means he had to be poor. If he would have gone in rich, he wouldn't have proved anything to Klal Yisrael. It would have been like a guy who, at the Korban Bayis, he took all his money with him, and he went to Golos with all his money. That guy can easily survive Golos. That guy can survive Golos. He'll build up his own house. He'll start his own business. He'll do everything he needs to do. But Jews are not like that. Jews run away from their homes. They're thrown out of their homes. So what are they going to do when they don't have any money? They've got nothing left. Everything was stolen from them. On their way out, somebody took away all their money. How are they going to build themselves up in Golos? How are they going to build themselves up wherever they go? What are they going to do? So that, what do you have? Make sure not to work on Shabbos. You have the koach of Shabbos, and that's it. That's the only thing that helps us in Golos, and the only thing that really works for us. That's why working on Shabbos when you absolutely have to, that's a problem. That's a problem. Chafetz Chaim had a whole thing about what happened with the Jews when they came to America, and they were dying, and nobody could find work, so they had to work on Shabbos. He said, I don't know what I would have done for them. I can't matter Shabbos, but I don't know what I would have done. It was sakanas nefashos for all these people. What he would have done, but you see the fruits of their labor. What happened? All the people started going off. Haskalah got a hold. There was conservative Judaism that never existed before, all because people stopped with Shabbos. You ever seen a kli, something like chalent, whatever that is, leave it outside with all the chalent left inside it, or like a bottle of honey when the honey is emptied out and there's just like the remnants on the side? What happens to that kli? Turns disgusting. I mean, not only is there flies and bugs and all the other things that comes around, but there's also mold that starts growing on it, right? What happens when Shabbos leaves and the new week starts? What happens when Motzei Shabbos comes along? So immediately, what happens to you? Kochos HaTumah rule. They come over and they just destroy you. Yoshib B'Seser Elyon, if you had any idea what you were saying, when you were saying Yoshib B'Seser Elyon, the whole thing is all about the demons. The whole thing is all about the Shadim and all those things out there, all the strangest things. I remember telling a guy this, and he said, I didn't see a single name of a demon when I looked at the Art School translation. Yeah, Shkoyach. You're not going to see it if you look in the Art School translation. Look through Yoshib B'Seser Elyon, you'll see unbelievable psukim. The psukim about 10,000 on your right and 1,000 on your left. This is straight out Gemara and Brachos. You'll see all these different Ketiv Marie inside there, all these different demons, and forget about Yoshev et Seser Elyon, which is the Rashi Tavos of Yaakov, missing the ayin for a reason. That's Nachal Yabok, which maybe we'll talk to him when we get to Nachal Yabok, when he has to cross in next week's parsha. Oh, I'm not going to be here next week, sorry guys, but Nachal Yabok next week's parsha. But the idea behind it's just the whole idea behind Yoshev et Seser Elyon and what he's trying to do, what he's trying to get at. It's an unbelievable world. That is Vayelech. Where did Yaakov go? Charano. He went to the anger of the world, the Charon Af in the Olam. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. He left Be'er Sheva. He left Shabbos. And what happens? Vayelech Charano. The Charon Af of the world comes into the world. It's the worst thing that you can possibly imagine. All the powers of Tumah comes in and it just destroys. It takes all the good stuff that was there and just destroys. Amot Shabbos, your neshama Yisera leaves you. Charon Af is here and it won't leave. So what do you have to do? So what do you do when that happens? So Yaakov gave a suggestion. You ready? Vayifka b'makom. The very next line. He davened in that place. So, have you ever noticed the worst davening that you have all week long is Mariv Motzei Shabbos? I guarantee you, the short, you could time yourself, shortest Shemona Esrei that you have, if you go to davening for every day during the week, I'm sorry, every day during the week, the shortest Shemona Esrei that you have is guaranteed Marav Motzei Shabbos. Guarantee you. There's no question about it. Everybody's sitting there and they just want to get home already. They just want Shabbos to end. They just want it all out. Shaking your head, Ari. Which do you think is the worst?
Well,
Monday morning.
Monday morning? What do you have Monday morning?
And you guys at Long Tachman?
Oh, I hear that. But that's because of Long Tachman. I mean, Shemona Esrei. You don't realize that in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Once you hear the Vahu Rachum, maybe that's when it's, oh my gosh, I was already on Ashrei. I don't know what I was thinking. I already had my head down. Well, I'm not getting up now. I hear you, that's for sure. But on Friday, maybe Friday Mincha. Maybe Friday Mincha is a different story because everybody's late and you're like running in and like they're already on Kedusha and you're just like, forget it. Forget it. I'm just out with Kabbalah Shabbos. Maybe. For Motzei Shabbos Mari, you just run. You run. And for some of you, you're looking at the rabbi and the rabbi's taking like 6 minutes to daven Mari. Shemona Esrei, and just like, what's wrong with him? Doesn't he realize he's so much to do tonight? What's going on? It's Motzei Shabbos becomes a different world. It's a totally, totally different world. So what did he do? Vayifka b'makom. The first thing Yaakov Avinu did was he made Mariv. He made Mariv. He made the first deal of Mariv. Kivah HaShemesh, the sun set so early. The sun set a little bit early for him to be able to tell people. This is the power that you can do. This is what can last your entire week. Sit there and daven a Mariv of Motzei Shabbos and you can have the greatest feel of all time. The absolute greatest feel of all time. If you daven Mariv, Hara Moria can come to you. You don't even have to go to it. Hara Moria will come to you and your Mariv will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an unbelievable amount of Kedusha that Yaakov Avinu was able to do that can help you for a very, very long time. Rav Wolfson says Yaakov Avinu had a plan here. We're going into another idea behind Korana. He says Korana does refer to the Korana Shel Makom. Who were the most angry people? The people, I guess, that angered God the most in the world?
Dor
HaMavol is a very good call. Not only them, who else? Dor Sodom and one other generation. Not Dor Midbar.
Dor
HaFlada. Dor HaMidbar, Dor HaMavol, Dor HaFlaga, and Dor Sodom. Those two generations were angered at Kadosh Baruch Hu to the point where he had to destroy them. Now, Dor HaFlaga, he dispersed them. But he had to destroy them. He couldn't allow them to say Lashon HaKodesh anymore. Dor HaMavol we know about. Dor Sodom we know about. We know about those people. You want to hear something crazy? So, whatever, Gilgulam. We all know that I'm going to go into Gilgulam at some point during this year. Dor HaMavol was Dor HaFlaga. Dor HaFlaga was Dor Sodom. That was a generation of Sodom. Dor Sodom, you know what they became? They became the sheep of Lavan. The sheep of Lavan. The sheep of Lavan eventually became Klal Yisrael. Those who had angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where they were no longer human beings. They were no longer human beings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't let you be human anymore. You guys are such tumah. Such unbelievable amounts of tumah. I can't allow you to be in this world anymore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't allow you to be anything that resembles a human being. He made them into sheep. He made them into sheep and said, you have to be sheep. The only way for them to improve, and Yaakov Avinu knew that. Yaakov Avinu knew that if Lavan kept these sheep, if these sheep would grow up in Lavan's house, they'd never get a tikkun. They'd just go worse and worse and worse, and they would never get this tikkun. Rochel Imenu was with them. Rochel Imenu, can you imagine this? Rochel Imenu was the shepherd for the sheep. Because Lavan knew there was something behind these sheep. He knew there was something special. He didn't want to trust it just to any roeh, just to any shepherd. He knew there was something special. You know how many sheep there were when Rochel was taking care of them?
60.
How many?
60.
60? Close.
60,000.
No, because he was poor at the time. 70. Specifically for the amounts. Rochel Imenu was there, taking care of the sheep. Lavan knew something was up with this. For the 70 Umos HaOlam, he thought. And it made sense. For the 70 nations of the world. But then later on, when Yaakov Avinu left, you know how many there were? 600,000 sheep left Lavan. But not only that. 600,000 plus the others that he had to give to Esau. Those are other ideas that get brought down. The people in Klal Yisrael that ended up converting to Christianity are those that he gave over to Esau. Those are the sheep that he gave over to Esau. Those are the neshamos. So they're the 1775 of the Vavim HaAmudim, which we'll get to maybe in Parshat Tetzaveh. But there are other people that were sent around that were completely on the other side, so to speak. There's 603,550 people in Klal Yisrael. The 3550 divided by 2 is 1775. Those are the 1775 Bavim Amudim that Moshe Rabbeinu could not remember what he did the silver for. If anybody remembers, that was the Kesef that he couldn't remember what in the world is all this Kesef for. He couldn't figure it out. That was them. Yes.
So basically, we're all the Gomer of
Sheep. No!
Wait, I'm not done. It's not just a joke.
But I am.
No, it's not just a joke, because you can look at it seriously, because maybe that's what was so great about Moshe Rabbeinu and
Davin Amal. Oh, without a question.
People.
Shepherds of sheep.
Shepherds of sheep.
Remember, those sheep are not the same as the others. Yes, there is something as to why all the Gedolim and Klal Yisrael are Roim of sheep.
Yeah,
there's no question about Roi Tzon. There's no question about that. Whether this is it, I don't know if that's the actual way. But says Rev Wolfson, what Yaakov wanted to do is to bring them back to a level of an Adam. You know what he did? He gave them Shabbos. He brought them back to a level of Shabbos. He took care of them for 7 years and gave them a year's worth of Shabbos, 354 Shabbosos. Gave them Shabbos and thus gave them an neshama so that they could come back and become Klal Yisrael. They would come back and do Klal Yisrael. But to do that meant that Yaakov had to lower himself. By Yetze Yaakov. Yaakov had to leave his neshama, his high up neshama, so to speak. 77 years of learning straight. He had to leave all that and become down, go down to a level that was completely different. Completely different. People lived. You know, so where did he go? In order to prepare himself for it? Shem Be'Aver. Shem and Aver lived through Dora Mabel, Dora Flugga, and Dor Sodom. They saw all three generations, especially Shem. Yaakov had to learn by them. What do these people do? How can I improve them? How can I be metaking them? So he specifically went over to him, and that's by Yitzhi Yaakov. Thus Hashem appeared to him when he's down, by Yishkav. When he lied down, when he is down in the Makom, trying to bring out the Tumah from the depths and bring it into Kedusha, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. That's why the oil that he used to put on top of the Evan, he put oil on top. There's a whole question if the Levites took all his money. How do you have oil? Three different answers to that kasha. That oil was the same pach of shemen that was found by the Chashmonaim years later and was used for the menorah. That's the exact same pach shemen that was brought down from Yaakov. Even that was the idea of everything that was going on. He davened Mariv in order to improve and to bring it up and to do everything that's there. We're talking about something that's just absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Even when you're down and out, says Yaakov, even when you're sheep, even when you're just a bunch of sheep, even when you're just there, Yaakov helped you. Yaakov brought you back up. He was able to make you daven marv. He was able to, even when the sun set too early, he was still able to bring you back up. He was still able to do anything. And that's Vayikach Esa Evan. You know what Evan stands for? Evan is Nase Adam B'Tzalmenu. We have made man in our image. To give them back the Tzelem Elokim that they lost when they became sheep. To give them back the Nasa Adam Itzalmina, that's the Evan that he was given over to them. And that's why Yitzhok Shemin. The idea of having Hanukkah, of pulling people out of the depths, out of the darkness, out of absolute garbage, to bring them up to a level where they're an unbelievable amount of Kedusha. That's what Yaakovina wanted to do. Rav Yonis and I just point out, does anybody know what night this was that Yaakovina was there? What night was this? What night was it? What was the day? So Pesach is a great call.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to see. I want to actually see a riot of that. If there was a way, everybody says Pesach because it was there. Hanukkah is also because we just said it wasn't Hanukkah, but Pesach is what people say. I'd like to find a riot for that. If anybody could find one, if there's a medrash on it.
Everyone just says Pesach because
there's another one. And the remez is he took a stone and he slept on it. Who sleeps on a stone? When was the last time you took a stone and you put it underneath your head? You can't sleep on a stone. I don't care if there was no pillows.
What did he bring? The carpet.
Get grass.
What did he bring? The food.
That was on Pesach night.
That was on Pesach, and he left the next day.
No, he didn't leave the next day. He definitely stayed a year. The question is how long of a year if he was there for a full year. If he wasn't there for a full year.
If he was there for a full year, then he goes 14 years.
If he was there for a full year, et cetera, et cetera.
15 years there.
But then you have to worry because you'd have to worry about something like this. This is not something that we can say on our own. You'd have to find a medrash that says it. But I will tell you, Rabbi Yonis and Aisha says, Tisha B'Av night. That's why we take away our pillows and we sleep on the ground or we sleep on stones. There's a minute to sleep on stones in Tisha B'Av night.
Having else to sleep on.
You don't take a rock. I'd rather sleep on the ground than sleep on a rock. I don't understand. I'm sleeping on the ground, right? So you put your arm under you. You know, you take something, you put something underneath you. Nobody takes a rock. Oh, here's a good call.
Nobody said it was jagged.
Yeah, good call, Dylan.
It was a jagged rock.
It doesn't have to be a jagged rock. Here's shot. Shot is, it was a zecher lechorban. It's a zecher lechorban. It's a zecher for the korban that is going to happen. Yaakov Inu knew the charon af shomakom, the anger of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, what was going to happen. He saw kivah Hashemesh. He saw that on this day the sun will set, that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed, not once, but twice. He saw that this was going to happen. By Yosem Rosh Hashanah, he put in his head, what can I do for Klal Yisrael? By Yachalom, and he had a dream. He had a dream. Other people had dreams, but this was a real, I had a dream.
He said he put the rock to save, to protect from animals.
That's without a question, but it says he put it on the back of his head. He put it on the back of his head, that's without a question, that he used it to protect, but still it's something there. But what was it? He came up with the following idea, this is the idea of what he wanted to do. Sulam Mutzav Artsa. A ladder that's down in the bottom. Rosho Magia Shemaim, its head hits up on top. Sometimes, you have to hit rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, and I didn't mean to make it into a pun, by the way, I just thought of that right now, and I like that you guys figured that out. Sometimes you hit, I'm not going to say the rock bottom, sometimes you hit the bottom, but you can still climb up to the top. Even when you're so far down low, you can still be Rosh HaMagi HaShemayim. Yaakov Inu saw that even at that time, you can still reach up to the sky. No matter how low you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to be with you. Chazal tell us, who's born on Tisha B'Av?
Mashiach
is born on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, Mashiach born in Tisha B'Av. Mashiach is born in, some say that he is born on the day of the Korban. And who got fooled about the person that was born on the day of the Korban? Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kokhba, who was born on the day of the Korban, was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva is the same letters as Yaakov Avinu with the Aleph. The same letters as Yaakov Avinu. It's not just Stam. Some say that he's a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. That Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. He saw the signs. Yaakov Avinu saw Bar Kokhba coming. He saw that there was going to be a Korban. He saw Rosh HaMagi HaShemayim, and Bar Kokhba had a chance to be that Mashiach. There was a possibility for him to become the Mashiach. He saw it go from the very bottom to the very top of the ladder. Now here, up until now we've been going into Charon Af Shalmakom. There's one other time where the word Charon appears in the Parsha within a conversation. And it's one of the strangest parts of the Parsha. A conversation that Yaakov Inu has with the Rohen, with the shepherds. Listen to this psukim. He went out to B'nai Kedem. He went to the east. By Yar, and he saw B'nai Be'er Basoda, there was a well in the field. There were three flocks of sheep. Rope to Malad, they were grazing near that well. That's where all the flocks used to drink from. But there was a huge stone on top of the well. It says, V'netzvu shamakol adarim. And then the pasuk goes into this unbelievable thing. What do we have to know this for? All the flocks used to gather there. The golu was the evan me'al, and they would all roll off the stone from on top of the well. The ishku was that stone. They would give the sheep something to drink. The shivu was the evan al piyabair limkoma. And then they would return the stone that was on top of the well, they would return it back to its place. V'alam Yaakov. And Yaakov had a conversation with them. Achai, me'ayinatem, my brothers, from whence do you come? From whence do you come? Where do you come from? We come from Haran. Yaakov said to them, he said to them, Hayadatim as Lavan ben Achor. Do you know Lavan ben Achor? We do know him. Is there peace with him? They say peace. Look, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with its own. And then look what he does. He ignores Rachel. And it says, wait, the day is still young. It's not time for the sheep to stop grazing. Give your sheep something to drink and then go graze. We can't until everybody gathers here together. We all roll the stone that everybody gets to drink. I don't get it. What in the world is going on here? Why was this important? Last to come, first to leave. Yeah, it always works out well. I don't get it. What in the world is this conversation doing here? What do we want with this conversation? What's going on here? What are we gaining from having this whole conversation here? What are we doing? What's going on? Here's Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim is a Rishon from the times of the Balei Atosos. He's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch. He gives an unbelievable remez over here. I couldn't believe it when I first read it. He says the following. He says, V'nei Shom, When it says over here that Vayar b'nei be'er basada b'nei sham is the word, the letters of Veha Mishnah. Veha Mishnah, Shlosha Edrei is the gematria of 919. Same gematria as Shisha Siddarim. Veha Mishnah is six Siddarim. There's six Siddarim of Mishnayos. Now what happens with the six Siddarim Mishnayos? What we're saying is Torah Sheval Peh. Not just anyone can learn Torah Sheval Peh. I mean, there are people who are not allowed to learn Torah Sheval Peh. Non-Jews, for example. We don't even allow women to learn some parts of Torah Sheval Peh. There's something special about Torah Sheval Peh that is reserved for only certain people and other people don't get it. Only certain people get it and other people don't. So what is that specialty? What is so special about it? It's Meshulash. It's Shlosha Edrei Tzon. It's Meshulash with Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim is all over the place. For the Tzon, for Bnei Yisrael. Specifically for Bnei Yisrael. So what's going on here? Rov Tzimaled, they were sitting there, these Roan, they were sitting and they were learning towards a Remez to Klal Yisrael, learning Shisha Sidri Mishnayis. Learning Torah Shabbat, Rov Tzimaled, they were sitting upon it, hovering over it. They were trying to sit there and try to understand what in the world is going on with these Mishnayis. How in the world does this Gemara mean this? What's Pshat in this Gemara? How do we understand this? But the Evan HaGadol Al Pi HaBe'er, there's a huge stone on top of the well. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't get Pshat. There was a huge stone on top of there, and they just couldn't get it. What's going on here? There's something wrong. A tzur is tzadik v'ralo. There are bad things that happen to good people, and they just didn't get it. They don't understand. How in the world could there be bad things that happen to good people and good things that happen to bad people? How in the world does this Torah Shabbat go? I just don't understand. There's things that we're missing. There's something that we don't have. So what would they do? They waited for all the flocks to gather together. They waited for the Tanoim and the Amoraim and the Gaonim and the Savorayim and the Rishonim and the Achronim. And little by little they were able to uncover a little bit of the Torah. They were able to uncover more and more and more and more as time went on. They were able to uncover a little bit more of an Esr Shama Kol Adar and all the flocks. All the different Rishonim and the Svarim and everything that they came out with, they were able to put together. They were able to make Mishnayis and be Mesadar the Mishnayis. They were able to be Mesadar the Gemara. Then they were able to be Mesadar. The Gaonim were able to make Halacha Svarim or Shalos V'Tshuva Svarim. Then the Rishonim were able to make Perushim in the Gemara. Then the Achronim were able to explain what the Rishonim meant. There are all these things that came from one after the other. The Galilus Evan. And they rolled off the stone. And little by little, they were able to drink from the well. Now, Piyaber, Vihishku Asatzon, they were able to drink, they were able to give it over to Klal Yisrael, not just Stam people. Everybody was able to understand it. Even Stam, Ami Aratzim, were able to understand it because it was translated into English and put in a way that they could understand. And it was given over to something else. Very good! That was pretty, yeah, that was like, logical attachment. Yeah, there you go. That's the idea of the Golos of Evan, the idea behind it. But eventually, Bavonoseinu Arabim, with our many sins, Vishivu Asaven, they put the stone back. Because people said, oh, it's so easy now. Now we have the Gemara. We have the Gemara that's sitting there with English right there in front of us, so we don't really need to work hard. So they stopped understanding it themselves and just relied on the English to tell them everything they needed to know. They didn't work on getting pshat. They just looked at it and they automatically got pshat. Daf Yomi is the easiest thing in the world. You just look through it, you get it, okay, you're done. So it's done. I'm not learning it up on my own. I'm just getting it. I'm just pulling it all in, and everything's just going into my head, and that's it. So immediately, the Evan started going back on. They started misunderstanding. They didn't understand what's going on. That became our generation. The generation where Mashiach is supposed to come. The generation that's going to be at the very, very end. So what happens? At the very, very end, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. At the end, right before Mashiach comes, and he's going to answer all the questions. All the shilas, all the different problems that we have, the teku, tishbi, ataris, kushis, vivayas, he's going to go ahead and he's going to answer all those problems. Loss of level. There's a connection between Eliyahu HaNavi and Yaakov Avinu. Eliyahu HaNavi gave his vav over to Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov is written with a vav 6 times or 5 times. Eliyahu HaNavi is written without a vav 5 or 6 times. And they're supposed to equal each other. That the amount of times that Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to, it's supposed to be a connection with one another. That Eliyahu HaNavi and Yaakov are going to come back and they're going to answer. So he goes up to Klal Yisrael and he says to them, what's the problem? He says, Micharon Anachnu, they say. We're from the Charon Af of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is angry at us. God won't let us have the pshat. He won't let us understand it. So I think God is doing something to us. That made us have shekho. We forgot all our learning. We don't have anything whatsoever. God is not helping us, said Klal Yisrael. He's not helping us. There's nothing we can do. He says, Hayadatim es Lavan, Do you realize that there's a Mashiach ben Nahor? He comes from Nahor. Nahor means a groan. Nahor means something that bad that happens. Lavan, Mashiach, can come from only the worst of the worst when you fall down to the bottom. When you fall down to the very, very bottom. That's where Mashiach comes up. It's possible for Mashiach to come when we're all the way up on top and we have unbelievable things happening, but we haven't been zocher to that yet. So it looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to bring Mashiach not from our tshuva, not from the fact that we all keep Shabbos, but rather because of the Haron Af of Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world and he knows he can't because he promised that he would bring the Mashiach. So we end up needing it ben Nahor. Mashiach will come at that time. The Yomru Yadanu. We know that, but it's one thing between knowing it. And there's another thing between believing it. Really, really believing it. So what do you say? Vayomer lahem, Hashalom lo. Don't you want it to be peaceful for him? Vayomer shalom. Vinei rachol bito boi matzon. And I said, oh. They said, wait a second. I think we're starting to get it. They looked at Rachel and they said, if Rachel's coming with the tzon. If there's somebody who's willing to lead Klal Yisrael in the way that gives them rachamim, the way that Rachel Imenu could, if there's someone that's willing to bring in Klal Yisrael in that way, and somebody can pull them together, a Mashiach ben Yosef, so to speak, who comes before Mashiach ben David, then we can understand the idea behind it, and that's Mashiach ben Yosef. If you can definitely have that, if we can see if Rachel's going to come with its own, then we understand, oh, there's something that we can possibly do. Something we can possibly do. Said Yaakov, and he looked at them and says, I don't understand. Oda Yom Gadol. You don't need Rachel to come here. You don't need Rachel and Mashiach and Yosef to do it on your own. You can do it by yourselves. Work hard. Oda Yom Gadol, he said. The day is still strong. It's not time to just give up and let a Kaddish Baruch Hu have it. You can still do it. You can still go at Hishkwat Zon L'churahu. Give yourselves a drink. Roll it off again. Do everything you can and go and graze. Do everything you need. Work on it yourselves. You don't have to be given it to as a gift. Work as hard as you possibly can. And what do the people say? They said, Lo Nilchal. We can't do it. We can't do it. There's too much tzaros. We got to wait until somebody comes and gathers us together. This is a nevuah for what's going to happen in the future of Klal Yisrael. This is a nevuah what's going to happen to us at the end of days. That we're just going to give up. We're going to say, we don't need to work hard. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us Mashiach anyway. When the year 5,999 comes by, and it's 364 days into it, you're like, well, it's got to come tomorrow anyway. So what's the difference? What's the difference? That's why Yaakov would never tell the kids to the Shvatim. Because he knew if they heard when the kids would be, it was going to be in the year 5770, the Shvatim would sit there and they would say, then forget it, we're not going to try until then. It's going to come in 5770, what's the point? They wouldn't try hard. Because you'd think, this is exactly who we are. What do we need to try hard for? What do I need to stay up late for? What do I have to do anything else for? I'm good enough as it is. I'm fine. I'm good. Could it be better? Yeah, it could be better. I'm fine. I've done everything I could. Are you sure you could have done everything you could? Yeah, this is good enough. What did you do today? You had a whole day off. What did you do? I'm fine. Did what I could. I sort of, got an hour and went to davening at 12. Dominated the Kotel. That was a good part. The problem was, it was my Kotel. Yeah, it's just a different type of a wall. I put a note in. it's just a different world. It's just a different world. We were promised a different Golos. Can you imagine this? There could have been a Golos Lava. It didn't have to be the Golos that we got. It could have been Golos Lava. It didn't have to be a Mitzrayim. Had Yaakov been Zocha, had the Shvatim been Zocha, had the Roim been Zocha, our 400-year Golos could have been spent with Lavan and not in Mitzrayim. But the Chafetz Chaim says, sometimes your relatives are worse. You ever try going at me? Who's more evil? A non-Jewish judge or a Jewish judge? When you're a firm Jew going up to the court. Without a question, the Jewish judge is impossible. Because you can say, you go up to a dean in a regular college and you say to him, I'm sorry, I have a holiday, it's called Shavuos. If it's a non-Jewish dean, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry for ever thinking anything wrong about you. Jewish judge, I don't hold the holiday, so you better be in school. You know that happens. Jewish relatives are worse than the others. That's why Golos Edom is the worst. It's much, much worse than Yavan. Much, much worse than Bavo. Much, much worse than Madai, Paras and Madai. Much, much worse than Mitzrayim. The only one that compares to it is Golos Lavan. Lovin Bikesh Lakor as a kol. Esav almost succeeded. Almost succeeded. We've got a million left. Maybe. A million people left that Esav hasn't destroyed. Esav is not destroyed. A million people that have not succumbed completely to Esav's grasps. And that's it. That's what we're down to. We're down in the dumps. We've got garbage. We've got garbage. That's what we have right now. And Rebel Yashiv, obviously. And Rechaim Knievsky. And we have certain Gedolim that are out there. Yes, David. And some others.
I was just trying to point out.
Right, thank you. Thank you. There are others. But it's just a different world. That's the idea behind the Charon Af Shalom. That's what we're referring to whenever it says the word Charon over here. And that's what it means by leaving Be'er Sheva. Sometimes we leave Yeshiva. Sometimes we leave that well of Shabbos. Sometimes we have to go out into the work world, the working world, and just deal with the problems that Thanksgiving gives us. And deal with the people that are there and the issues that come up when you're sitting around people that you just really don't want to be with. Ami, I know you're here, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to be there. You guys I'm okay with. Certain other people, it's just... You know what I'm saying? It's just there. Like, you have to deal with it. And it's okay, because they'll never listen to this tape. That's the idea behind it. The idea behind it is that you can survive, but you need Shabbos. Don't waste your Shabbos, and don't waste your Marav Amotze Shabbos. All right. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.